रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो 17 चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 32। त्वां वर्तमानं नरदेव देहे त्वां वर्तमानं नरदेव देहेषु अनुप्रवृत्तो यमधर्मपूगः लोभो नृतं चौर्यमनार्यमं सुमंहो ज्येष्ठा च माया कलहश्च दम्भः त्वां वर्तमानं यु हियर प्रोपद सेज दिस वाज डिस्कस्ड सम परपोर्ट्स अगो आल्सो द प्रिंसिपल्स ऑफ रिलीजन नेमली ऑस्टेरिटी क्लीनलेस मर्सी एंड ट्रुथफुलनेस एज वी हैव ऑलरेडी डिस्कस्ड मे बी फॉलोड बाय फॉलोअर ऑफ एनी फेथ There is no need to turn from Hindu to Mohammedan or Christian or some other faith and become a renegade and not follow the principles of religion, he says. So why he says renegade? Because renegade means rebel. Huh? Why one becomes a rebel? Sometimes somebody gives up Hindu religion because they claim that now I have become more enlightened, that there is only one God. Jesus is the only God. And then they become Christian, claiming that now we don't want multiple gods, we will accept one God. And then they don't follow Christianity also. They become a Christian, they eat meat, they drink wine, they go for clubs, and they don't follow that religion also. That is why here Prabhupada says, Hindu to Mohammedan, Mohammedan to Christian or some other faith, and thus become a renegade and not follow any principle of religion. Sometimes students say, oh, we are very broad-minded. We go to mosque also, we go to church also, we go to temple also. Even in our college days, we have seen students like that. They seem to be very broad-minded, open-minded, but they have only one religion, which is called sense gratification. Yeah. Because if they like a girl, they will go with her to mosque also, church also. Yeah, because that doesn't matter where they have to go. So Prabhupada says, don't make a show of leaving one religion and accepting another religion simply for making a show, and then ultimately you don't follow any religious principles. That's a, in the beginning he is saying that. The Bhagavatam religion urges following the principles of religion. So these are the principles of religion. Why? We can ask the question. Is Bhagavatam urging everyone to follow these four principles? Somebody may argue this austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness. Why should one follow it? What is the need? It has nothing to do directly with devotion. Sometimes in India, you find a sadhu smoking some ganja. Sometimes you find some mendicants freely mixing with women. So they say, actually what I am doing, these things have no connection to my religious practices. My religious practice or worship of God is separate and this is separate. And many people also accept them. That is another great surprise. How can, like for example, there is a very famous mission in India in which even the sannyasis eat chicken. Yeah. They eat meat, they eat chicken. They say that, you know, this is for the body. You know, don't confuse this with our meditation and worship. That is separate. This is separate, they say. They argue like that. So here, Prabhupada says, the Bhagavatam religion urges following the principles of religion. Why? So the explanation to this is given by Prabhupada elsewhere. In another purport, Prabhupada explains. He says, in the material world, everyone is allured by Maya. And all the living entities in this material world are rushing towards the glaring illusion of Maya, exactly like the moth is rushing into the fire and gets roasted. In this way, everyone is falling prey to Maya in this world and suffering. And how to, what is the solution to come out of the suffering? Actually, one has to escape from the clutches of Maya, being punished by Maya. So that is why Asatoma, Sadgamaya, Tamasima, Jyotirgamaya, Mrityorma, Amritam Gamaya, it is said. From repeatedly dying, we have to go towards Amritam, immortality. Similarly, from repeatedly being plunged in darkness, we have to go to wisdom, light. So, we have to go from Maya, we have to give up the shelter of Maya. How can we do that? The solution is given in scripture. We have to take shelter of Krishna. But that is not a very easy thing, taking shelter of Krishna. See, both are very difficult. What is it? To take shelter of Krishna completely and become a pure devotee of the Lord is very difficult. And to say that I will not oblige to the Maya's pulls and pushes, demands, also I will leave Maya also, that is also not possible. So we are unable to surrender to Krishna, at the same time we are dragged by Maya. Maya engages us in her service. That is the way the material world is. So then what should one do? That famous song is there, no? Maya Ravashe. That song he says, Radha Krishna Bol 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 Re Sobha, in that song. He says, Maya, she drowns the living entity in so much of suffering. So, it's not possible for one to completely surrender to Krishna and become a pure devotee. That is also not possible. And on the other hand, to tell Maya that I will not surrender to you also. It's like a citizen of a country saying, I will not follow the state laws and I will not, be captured by the police also. Can somebody say like that? Like you are driving your car, suddenly you break the signal and go ahead. And you say that no police can catch me or no traffic policeman catch me. Can you say that? You will easily find. Or you are parking the car in a non-parking area. Immediately somebody will come and tow it and take it. You cannot say, I will break the law and still will not be touched by the punishment. You cannot say that. You have to go either way, this way or that way. So, now, okay, somebody may say, okay, I'm ready to follow the law. So, to be a pure devotee of Krishna is actually the ultimate platform of following the law. So, to be a pure devotee, to behave as a pure devotee is not very easy. So, how to become a pure devotee? For that, in order to simplify our life, Lord has given these four principles in all the religions. These four principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness. If anyone follows these principles very strictly, then that person will become a person of character. And when one's character increases, with such a high character, one can very easily withdraw oneself from the clutches of Maya. I'll read exact purport, what Prabhupada says. See, Prabhupada says, the Lord Himself also warns that the deluding power of Maya is too powerful to overcome. But one who completely surrenders unto the Lord can easily do so. But to surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is also not very easy. Such surrender is possible by persons of austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness. These four principles of advanced civilization were remarkable features in the age of Satya Yuga, he says. So Prabhupada says in the age of Satya Yuga, the Varna means they were all Brahmanas of the highest order. And in Ashrama, they were all Paramahamsas of the highest order, Prabhupada says in Satya Yuga. The social orders of life, they were all Paramahamsas on the topmost platform of renounced order. Such a strong men of character were competent enough to get away from the clutches of Maya. See, this is the reason why we follow the four regulative principles. Why we follow? Because by following these four principles, we will become people of very high character. And with very high character, it is very easy to, as he says here, you will become competent enough to get away from the clutches of Maya. So this is the reason these four principles are given in every religion. And then he says, as the Kali Yuga is progressing, the religious principles are degrading. And then three prominent things Prabhupada says: pride, attachment for women and intoxication, and attachment for women, and then thirdly intoxication. These three things in many purports Prabhupada is stressing. Real or artificial pride, imaginary pride or whatever he says, and then he talks about affinity, attraction for the opposite sex, and intoxication. These three things Prabhupada says have degraded. Like here he says, the progression of the age of Kali, people are becoming very proud and attached to women and intoxication. By the influence of the age of Kali, even a pauper is proud of his penny. The women are... So, these principles, these three things which he is saying are against the four principles. Like for example, the austerity. See, by pride, austerity is spoiled, he says. What is austerity? Austerity is something that is not very comfortable but for the body, but which is beneficial for the progress of the soul. That is called as austerity. For example, say fasting. So we have to fast for a spiritual purpose, not for some political reasons, or not for cleaning your bodily system. We should not do fasting for that. Actually, even today, many people, even the pious people, they say we do fasting. Why? And most of them, 90% of them will give you a reason that it is helpful in cleaning the bodily system. Because even doctors say that. How many of them say that I am fasting for God's pleasure? For Krishna's pleasure? It's very, very few. That's the Prabhupada saying, fasting for a spiritual purpose. That's an example of austerity. So austerity involves willpower, determination to say no to the demands of the mind and follow certain principles like the fasting we said. So when one takes to intoxicants, for example, if somebody is taking liquor or smoking, as Prabhupada explains here, why do people take to these things? There is a reason for that. Because they want to immediately forget the ongoing problems in their life. Of course, they are able to for a short while, but then very soon that intoxication wears off and the problems are not gone, the same problems are there and the good time is over. And they, when they come out of the intoxication, again they feel, again I will take intoxication to forget. In this way, the more they take intoxicants, the more they weaken their mind. It becomes very vulnerable. And while in intoxicated state, one also does things unbeneficial to others and unbeneficial to oneself and acts foolishly. Because one is not even aware of one's situation. What is my situation? Now, this is not only with liquor or with smoking, even with coffee or cocoa or all these things, they actually lower our consciousness and they put us in bodily consciousness. So, austerity means to avoid these things. When we avoid these things, then at least we are sane. We have the good sense. And with the good sense, further, one can even observe whether one is proud or not. This intoxication by external elements or agents is another thing. But when you are not taking all those things, then one has to check, how is my my thought process, how is my speech, how is my action, is it tainted by false pride? You have to see that. So, one of the principles of austerity is also to avoid false pride. How? For example, you fast on Ekadashi day, your pride will be finished. Also, we are just... there are people who are not even satisfied with Ekadashi Prasad. Even after eating Prasad, they feel, oh, when will Dwadashi come? When can I eat the grains? When can I get chapati? They get a feeling of separation from chapati. Isn't it? You can see that. Then you understand, my Lord, how insignificant I am. There is a verse in Bhagavatam which says, nobody in this world is independent. Everyone is controlled. Completely controlled. Even the great kings, like the great kings of the old times, whether it be Yudhishthira Maharaj or Parikshit Maharaj or the great kings you are hearing in the past, Indra, Chandra, Brahma, all of them. And even in the modern times, you take Napoleon or Alexander or Subhash Chandra Bose. Prabhupada gives the name list. You want to see? I'll read it for you if you want. See, Prabhupada gives the name list. Every living being, either in this material world or spiritual world, is under the control of the Supreme Lord. Beginning from Brahmaji, leader of the universe, down to the insignificant ant, all are abiding by the orders of the Supreme Lord. The foolish living being, especially man, he artificially rebels against the law of the Supreme and thus becomes chastised as an asura or lawbreaker. A living being is placed in a particular position by the order of the Supreme Lord, and he is again shifted from that place by the order of the Supreme Lord to another place. Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Maharaj Yudhishthira, or in the moderns, Napoleon, Akbar, Alexander, Gandhi, Subhash Chandra Bose, and Nehru, are all servants of the Lord. Prabhupada saying, everyone is servant of the Lord. And they are placed in and removed from their respective positions by the supreme will of the Lord. See, when one realizes this, one's intoxication will wear off. One will become humble by understanding this point here. And Prabhupada saying, everyone, ordinarily one cannot change the course of one's happiness and distress by plan making. Everyone has to accept them as they come under the subtle arrangement of Kala or invincible time. There is no use trying to counteract them. Best thing is, therefore, that one should endeavor to achieve salvation by surrendering to the Lord. So two things he is explaining. One is that if somebody is in a very big position, then one can know that one is placed by the Lord and one will be removed by the Lord. That is one point. Another point is this: happiness and distress that comes in our life cannot be altered by our own personal endeavor or by our personal prowess or by our smartness or intelligence, because these are all ordained by the Lord, who is far above, and he is in charge of everything. He is Maya Adhyakshina Prakriti. He is controlling. So when one knows these things, how can we realize these things by performing austerity? When you perform austerity, when you give up when the living entity becomes free from that intoxicated state of foolish notion that I am a great person, then only we can realize these things. Have you ever observed a drunken man? When a person is drunken, he thinks he is very great, he is very powerful, although he is practically powerless. You know, one slap he will fall down on the ground. But he thinks, I am the controller of the whole universe. He thinks like that. That is why the austerity is prescribed. By performance of austerity, one will come to good senses. He says. Similarly, Anandam Prabhupada says, it's the affinity for the opposite sex. It spoils the cleanliness. He says that. The second thing he says. So the attraction for male and female is very prominent in material consciousness or bodily consciousness. That is why the Vedic system prescribes separation between man and woman. That is the reason. Like in temple, we have the woman's side, we have the men's side. Why this is prescribed? Similarly, the education also is separately done. So the reason is that anybody can understand by common sense that this affinity is there because of identifying with the body. Like a man thinks, oh, here is a pretty girl, yeah, and I am a handsome man, and I can enjoy. How can I impress her? That is why men go to the gym, and they develop big biceps, and they wear a particular type of banyan to show to women that I am very, look at my biceps, look at my handsomeness. Or am I able to impress her sufficiently? So he buys a very flashy car, isn't it? Or he wears a glamorous dress, isn't it? Or he shows a lot of rupee notes, lavishly spends in front of women, and he wants to impress them. Look at me, look at my greatness, surrender to me. Isn't it? So you can see this is man's tendency. Similarly, women are no less. Women, as soon as a woman looks at a man, woman thinks, am I pretty enough for him? Am I good looking enough for him? Or how I can, nowadays there are beauty parlors where they train women how to arouse the man's passion. How to dress, how to keep the hairstyles in certain way, how to dress in a provocative way. That man's mind will become agitated by looking at a woman, and a man will be purchased by a woman. The kinds of dresses they wear and the kind of hairstyle. So Prabhupada says, in one of these purports you will see, that how the Vedic culture teaches that man and woman both know, actually we are not the body, we are the soul. Actually we have to go back to God. That's why when we come to temple, women, they cover their body. See, there is a natural attraction in a conditioned stage for the bodies of each other. But when women are properly covered and they are chaste and these two qualities are said, chastity and modesty. Chastity means purity. Modesty means reserved behavior. Both are very important between man and woman. Like we have brahmacharya for men and chastity for women. That leads to purity. That means, you know, one knows where is the Lakshman Rekha, what is the limit, you know, how one should behave. And one doesn't, like for example, women are devoted to their husbands and they don't loosely dally with other men. They don't do that in the name of being very open and modern. It's not, in the modern times people think modern means you have to just dally with everyone. That just makes like a dog's community. And there is no limit at all for that. Then when there are complications, then people will cry, oh, then they will go for divorce or something like that. So modesty also means reserved. Reserved means there has to be one has to know that one should not go beyond limits. The Vedic life teaches how a woman is always submissive to the husband and the elders in the family, and so she is well protected like that. Unlike the modern times. Now this is not only with women, even with man also. A man doesn't have the chastity and modesty, then again the same trouble. So Prabhupada is saying in one of the purports here that I'll just show you. Yeah, by the influence of the age of Kali, even a pauper is proud of his penny. The women are always dressed in an overly attractive fashion to victimize the minds of men. And the man is addicted to drinking wine, smoking, drinking tea and chewing tobacco, etc. All these habits are so-called advancement in civilization, are the root causes of irreligiosities. And therefore it is not possible to check corruption, bribery and nepotism. So I heard that in Delhi, the policemen, you know, were criticized by the public leaders for not sufficiently giving protection to women. So the policemen in the newspaper gave an article, you will see. They say, we can promise 100% protection for women, provided they agree to change their style of dressing. If they agree to dress in a very chaste fashion, properly dressed, we can assure that not even one, there will be not even one rape case in Delhi. So it came in the paper. So the policemen say that the women dress in such provocative ways that there are men who are already religious and they become even more irreligious by their conduct, by the kind of. So in fact, chastity or modesty, when we say it is in thought, it is in speech, it's in action and in dressing, in all the four levels. How we think. Like a man looks at a woman, one should know actually this woman is not her body. This body is simply a, you know, a slab of flesh flapping, whether it be a man or a woman. But here is a spirit soul who is coming to engage in Krishna service. Similarly, a woman should think this man, whoever it is, it's man or whatever, it's only external shell. But inside this body there is a soul sitting, coming to serve Krishna. So let us not become creators of trouble for each other, rather allow one to engage in Krishna service. That should be one's mood. And one should know, in the conditioned stage, one should know how to keep distance in order to preserve the purity. Like that. That's why Prabhupada made the standards. Women wearing saris and men wearing dhoti kurta. When men are wearing loose dhotis and kurtas, you feel comfortable also, and there is no, it's not flashy attraction. Imagine if people come to the temple with boxer shirts and you know, stonewash tight blue jeans and when a woman are coming with mini skirts, then instead of taking darshan of the deities, they'll be taking darshan of each other, isn't it? Attracting oneself to each other like that. So Prabhupada saying this is Kali Yuga. People just attract to each other. So that is why these principles are prescribed. Internal and external cleanliness is achieved by keeping the distance between man and woman. So then there can be character. Then there is character. That's why, so this is cleanliness, austerity, cleanliness. And mercy, principle Prabhupada doesn't talk much here. Because the reason is, he has elaborately given in many other purports about the organized slaughterhouses, many, many places. So Prabhupada didn't highlight it so much here. About how killing of the innocent creatures leads to lack of mercy. See, too much addiction to intoxication, mercy spoiled. What is this addiction to intoxication? Prabhupada writes a very elaborate comment about this. If you read the Nalakora and Manigriva purport. In that purport, he says that people who have a lot of money, people who have a lot of power, political power or money, or people who have very healthy bodies, stout bodies, they become intoxicated, Prabhupada says, by these things. And then they eat any type of animal, they eat goats or chicken or cows, without bothering about the inconvenience they are causing them by torturing them ruthlessly, and they eat. So they are, they themselves are like animals, Prabhupada writes. And that is because of their intoxicated state. Because of their materially intoxicated state, they think that they can do anything, nobody can control them. And then he says that only those who have been poverty stricken, they will know the poverty of others. Then they will be sensitive to the poverty of others. And Prabhupada says, if somebody has been poverty stricken, and then they became a millionaire over a period of time, then they will open some dharmashala, they will open some temples for the welfare of others. Because they will remember, they already had a pinprick before. They realized it, so now they will want to do welfare for others. Otherwise, people who are intoxicated by wealth, like this Janma, Aishwarya, Shuta, Shri, we say, they are very intoxicated. So, then there is no mercy towards other living beings, he says. And too much lying, propaganda, then the truthfulness is spoiled. Now here Prabhupada gives another important point as we proceed in the purport. Bhagavatam religion urges following the principles of religion. The principles of religion are not the dogmas or regulative principles of a certain faith. Such regulative principles may be different in terms of time and place concerned. One has to see whether the aims of religion have been achieved. So here Prabhupada says that religious principles do not change from one religion to another religion. We cannot change the principles. We can change the details. Details may be different according to time and place. For example, say, according to Sanatana Dharma, it says, if one eats meat, it is a pillar of sinful life. It's like one of the greatest sins to kill another creature unnecessarily. So I was reading in Quran, there's a statement which says that, you know, Muhammad is telling someone, he's saying that do not eat the, he says do not eat the pig, do not eat the flesh of animals which are actually cut by bladed weapons, he says. Clearly he says, you should not eat the animals that are cut by bladed weapons. And he says that do not eat any animal that is killed in a place other than the mosque, because it cannot be considered an offering. And he says that, you know, do not eat animals if the vegetables and fruits and cereals are available to you. When there is a choice, do not kill animals, he says. Then you have to accept the vegetables and fruits and cereals. So he gives many conditions, in what conditions you can accept. And then he says, okay, if after all considerations of this, you still have to eat the animal, then what you have to do? You have to cut the animal into 7 pieces and offer it to Allah, and you know, then it is Qurban, you are offering it. Then there is haram and halal. Haram means which is not an offering to God, where you kill the animal and you only eat everything. Then halal means out of the 7 pieces, 6 pieces you give in charity, only 1 piece you can eat. Can you see how there is a restriction for eating meat? You can see. So we can, I am quoting from Quran. Why? Because if you quote from Quran, you don't have to quote from any other religion. Because Muslims eat a lot of meat. So we can, other religion needless to say about it. So we can see that all religions are tending towards the same four principles. Austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness. Take any religion in the world. That's the purpose. You cannot change this principle. Prabhupada says. Now for example, India is claiming to be a secular country. In the name of secularism, there was an article in the Back to Godhead last year or the year before. So the article was, there was a picture of a head or of like football, and somebody kicking the football. So kick out secularism, that was the article. Why the article said kick out secularism? Because in the name of secularism, as Prabhupada says here, in the age of Kali, the executive heads of state will be, here he says, a secular state may be impartial to any particular type of faith, which means, like for example, just because Indians majority are Hindus, a government need not support Hinduism. And you know, a government need not neglect Christians or Muslims. That's what Prabhupada is saying. But the state cannot be indifferent to the principles of religion, as above mentioned. Which means, in the name of secularism nowadays, people are simply becoming atheistic. In the schools and colleges, there are no prayers. Because they say, now if you have prayers, then which prayer will we sing? Will we sing Hindu prayer, or Christian prayer, or Muslim prayer? So because we cannot offer any prayer like that. So some schools have come up with a concocted prayer. Where is Ishwara Allah, Tere Naam, Sabhuko Sanmadite Bhagavan, Rama Ram Jai Raja Naam, Paditam. So they have got, there are songs. I saw in one of the value education book, where they have a song with about 10 different religions. And they have a concocted prayer. So some schools are doing that. Some colleges have a, approach of Sarva Dharma Samabhavana, where they have made a temple on different sides you go, north, east, west, south, you have different sanctorums, and worship. Some have been doing that. And 99% of the schools and colleges, they have practically no culture of prayer nowadays. There are no prayers in the morning. There is no worship of God. There is no study of scripture. There is no following of principles. You can do whatever you want because we are a secular country. So why do you call secular? Call yourself atheistic. Because you removed God. You are not secular. That's what Prabhupada is saying. Just because you are secular, you cannot avoid practicing these basic principles. Because every religion has, you will find, has got laws of God. In the laws of God say that you can only, you should avoid meat. Or you can eat meat only in a certain proportion. All these things, all these four things, like sex is also restricted. Like if you read the Quran, it says, one should not have sex with a mother or with a sister or mother's sister or, and mother's sister's daughter. Like that, about 8 or 9 names are given there. With who all one should not mingle freely. Actually, they have to be told all these things. One has to know. So, in the same manner, in every scripture you will find what are the restrictions for this principle of sex life, so which is connected to cleanliness. So, in the same manner, take any religion, all religions talk about the greatness of God on one hand, then they also talk about these principles. And obviously, without these principles, there is no possibility of peace in society. Makes sense. Sticking to the dogmas and formulas without attaining the religious principles is not good. You see, in the age of Kali, the executive head of state will be indifferent to such religious principles. And under their patronage, all the religious things will happen. So, Prabhupada says that in Kali Yuga, modern politicians, they want to bring people under the control of the laws that they have made. which are called as man-made laws. But they say, if you want to break God's law, there is no problem. But you have to follow man-made law. Will that work? It won't work. Regarding that, Prabhupada beautifully explains it in another, the first canto, 13th chapter. There is a verse in which he very beautifully explains. This is verse number 42. 1:13:42. If you read this, here Prabhupada says, every living being, whether a man or an animal or a bird, thinks that he is free by himself, but actually no one is free from the severe laws from the Lord. The laws of the Lord are severe because they cannot be disobeyed in any circumstance. For example, elsewhere Prabhupada gives example. As age progresses, one cannot eat all kinds of foods. You can ask people who are beyond 50. You ask them, they have to be very careful what they eat. Not that you saw some samosa and you ate 4 samosas. Yeah, it will be very troublesome. You can ask them how to get it out of the system after that. Yeah. Prabhupada says, one extra thing you eat, finished. 3 days, 4 days you suffer. He says like that. So the material laws are very stringent. One is not allowed to do what one wants to do very freely. This is just one example of eating, and we can extend it to practically all the things that we do in our life. There are a lot of restrictions. One cannot break the laws of God and go scot-free. Not possible, he says. The man-made laws may be evaded by cunning outlaws. Like for example, man makes an income tax law. That if you have this much salary, you have to pay this much income tax. But there are some cunning people who can outlaw it. Because they will employ a chartered accountant who will teach them, you know, how to avoid paying the income tax. Isn't it? Many big people, they think they are more smarter than the government. Government makes one rule and they come up with another clue how to escape from it. So, he said, man-made laws may be evaded by cunning outlaws, but in the courts of the supreme lawmaker God, there is not the slightest possibility of neglecting the laws. A slight change in the course of God-made law can bring about a massive danger to be faced by the lawbreaker. Such laws of the supreme are generally known as the codes of religion under different conditions. But the principle of religion everywhere is one and the same. Namely, obey the orders of the supreme God, code of religion. You see, for example, in the God's law, there is a system that one should not loot another man's wealth. That is one of the principles. Tena tak tena bunjita magradakkasya suddhanam. He says, one should not take another man's wealth. This is God's law. God also has made this law. Whatever is your quota, you be happy. Similarly, one should treat another man's wife as a mother. This kind of rules are there in scripture. Just see Ravana, he tried to enjoy another man's wife, he was destroyed. You will see that. Now Duryodhana, he tried to usurp another man's wealth, he was destroyed. And this is not only to do with Ravana or Duryodhana, even in the modern times you will see, let us take a country where people don't know Ramayana and Mahabharata, they don't know. There also if a man steals another man's property, you know, there will be fight and he will be killed, you will see that. Even in a country like America, they don't know Sanskrit scriptures and all. If one man tries to meddle with another man's wife, he will be shot. See, this is God's law. This is God-made law. Even if they don't know God, it's God's law. Even if the people don't know it is God's law, still God's law works very powerfully, he says. And Prabhupada says, it may be possible that somebody may loot another man's property because he's very powerful. Sometimes certain builders, they are like a giant. They're very powerful. And what they do, they swallow the smaller builders by looting their property. It's like a big fish eating a small fish, or a big snake eating a small snake. And the small fellow will try to protest, he'll go to the police, but the police will not be able to help him. Why? Because the police also is afraid of the very big builder. Because the police knows our job will be finished. They cannot oppose. So sometimes certain very big builders, they think, now we can go on doing atrocity, nobody can stop us. But that's why Prabhupada says here, somebody may be able to outlaw the government, but you cannot cheat God. God is a supremely powerful. And whatever one is doing, one has to face the consequence of such action. He says, All living beings in the material world have taken up the risk of conditioned life by their own selection and are thus entrapped with the laws of material nature. Here Prabhupada says, the statutory laws of state are imperfect imitation of religious codes. The secular state or a godless state allows the citizens to break the laws of God, but restricts them from disobeying the laws of the state. They say you can break God's law, but you know, you have to follow the laws of the state. What happens? The result is that the people in general suffer more by breaking the laws of God than by obeying the imperfect laws made by man. Every man is imperfect by constitution under conditions of material existence. And there is not the least possibility that even the most materially advanced man can enact the perfect legislation. On the other hand, there is no such imperfection in the laws of God. If leaders are educated in the laws of God, there is no necessity of a makeshift legislative council of aimless men. So here he comes up with a very powerful point, very, very deep point. See, try to understand, there are two laws. One is the God's law, which is like a big umbrella, no? And below that there is man-made law. It's made by man. In the Vedic times, there was no difference between man-made laws and God's laws. Why? Because the kings directly followed the scriptures. They didn't have any separate laws. Law means only one thing. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Navai vidu rishiyo na api devaha na siddha mukhya asura manushya kuton vidyadhara charanadeha. It is said, if one wants to know what is the ultimate law, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. God alone can enact the laws. And then he says, navai viduhu rishaya. Even the great rishis, even the great demigods, na apideva, na siddhamukhya, even the siddhas, asura manushya, kutona vidyadhara charana, even the vidyadharas and charanas, nobody can give the law. The only person who knows the truth is ultimate God. His laws were the ultimate laws. People are following it. So there was no problem in the Vedic society because people just followed God's laws and everyone knew it. The public knew it, the king knew it, and everyone followed it. If somebody didn't follow, they have to get the punishment. But let us give some example in the modern times where man has made his own laws, but he has rejected God's law. For example, in the modern times, the boys and girls, they are allowed to watch all kinds of pornography from the internets. They can download. The three-letter word is one of the words that is most frequently visited by all the youths worldwide, adults. And you offer them the facility through all the worldwide internet to throw all garbage into their brain. So you break the God's law. What is God's law? God's law is cleanliness. You are spoiling the aspect of cleanliness by corrupting the minds of the young youth. And then there is a man-made law. What is man-made law? Eve teasing is prohibited in colleges. You know, if any boy is found to be, you know, troubling a girl, you know, then, you know, he'll be given some punishment. This is a man-made law. And Prabhupada says man-made law is imperfect. Why? Why it is imperfect? Because you only are teaching them how to break God's law. And then how are you going to control them now? Isn't it? Now another example, according to the Vedic custom, and the girls were supposed to be under the custody of mother and father, especially the father. She is under the protection of the father. There can be no woman in this world who is not under anybody's custody. She has to be under someone's custody. You know, before marriage, she is under the custody of the father. After marriage, under the custody of the husband. And after she gets a son, if the husband takes sannyas, then she is under the custody of the son. And she always has a protector. A woman always has to have a protector. This is the Vedic standard. Like Prabhupada was in London, there was one lady who was arguing with Prabhupada that, you know, why women can't be equal with man? Why you people say women are inferior? And Prabhupada said, if you catch your hair, what can you do? You will only cry, gang, you will cry. Because you are a woman, isn't it? So a woman, a single girl, young girl cannot travel in this world here and there alone freely, without becoming object of, you know, attention of men and without being troubled by other men. You ask all the women going to offices, they can, if confidently asked, they will tell how the other men are troubling them in different levels. once the woman becomes easily accessible to man, then man has a tendency, especially men who have no character, as in Kali Yuga we see. We can easily see how difficult is it for the woman to peacefully work in an office, to please the boss, to please the colleagues, and to maintain one's purity. It's a great challenge today. So now, the modern society, modern man has discarded that principle that woman doesn't have to be under the custody of father or, you know, husband or the son. Woman should be free. They should be liberated. Okay, after liberating them, then he makes a law. If any man troubles a woman, then he will be put into this kind of punishments and all that. But what about woman troubling man? That also is happening. There is, like, you know, woman nowadays, if any woman gives a complaint to police that some man is troubling me, police doesn't take it very seriously because they don't know who is troubling whom. Whether man is troubling woman or woman is troubling man, they don't know. Because once you break the God's law, once you don't enact it, then man-made laws become imperfect. There is no meaning. Quite often you find sometimes, in my college days, one boy came and confided with me a very interesting episode. He was telling, he saw that another boy was, going behind a girl and trying to trouble her and all. So this man became like a hero, you see in the movie. He tried to, stop him, catch him and everything. Later on the girl told, why are you punishing him, it's all right, she said. So then he came to understand that, he became like a fool. So in this way, if a woman also want the trouble given by man, then how can man, you understand, all the laws, they become very flimsy and they fall apart. Once that ultimate law is not followed, unless the top thing is not followed. You see, like we were talking in the beginning of the class today about the three things which Prabhupada says. If those things are not followed, then everything down the line will fall apart. Actually, man-made laws have no meaning at all. It's utter foolishness. For example, abortion is prohibited. In the scriptures, abortion is gruesome murder. Now in America, they were allowing abortion, up to 7th month. Beyond 7th month, you should not abort. That's what they were saying. But later discoveries showed that, in the 7th month when they abort a child, hands and legs are all cut off. It's actually, when the suction tube goes inside, it just kills the child practically. Then they researched more and more in the womb and they said, up to 3 months you can abort. They made the policy now. Now they are saying, we are trying to find out exactly when the life comes into that body, After that point you cannot kill, once life comes. But before life comes, till that period, as long as it is a tissue only, you can abort, they were saying. But now they don't know exactly, but according to Shastra, the life comes at the time when the, when the semen breaks the egg and the egg emulsifies and the fetus starts growing. At that time only life is there. Because they don't know about the soul. So these are man-made laws, you see. So the man-made law keeps changing also. The man-made statutory laws, warnings keep changing. Some years ago, 1930 or 1935, cocoa was so famous worldwide, everywhere. The cocoa was being promoted as something that gives the greatest happiness. Everywhere, companies were spreading it. Now there are countries which completely prohibit cocoa. Like I heard certain countries, if somebody is found to be having it, then they are even given some special punishments. So these man-made laws will be changing. What is all right at one time can become not all right at another time. We will see that. Like for example, in India, for an unmarried woman to be in the street at 12 o'clock at night is a strange thing, that to alone. But in America, is perfectly all right. This is man-made law, you see. Man-made law just keeps changing from place to place according to what one wants. But there is God-made law, you'll find that. God-made law is standard for everyone all over the world. So that's why Prabhupada is saying here, the secular state or godless state allows the citizens to break the laws of God, but restricts them from disobeying the laws of the state. For example, the state says, that you don't have to study the scriptures. Don't study Bible, don't study Quran, don't study Bhagavad Gita. You don't need all these things. Why do you bring God in? But you should obey your teachers in the school. You know, you should obey your, be obedient to your parents. Be obedient to your teachers. And don't copy in the exams. You know, don't do. Do you think people can follow it? You are allowing them to break the laws of God, but you want them to follow your law. Why should they follow you? If you don't want to want them to follow God, who is the ultimate person, why should they follow you, who are a tiny tot, who comes today and is gone tomorrow? Why should they follow you? So that is a powerful question Prabhupada is asking. The secular state or godless state allows the citizens to break the laws of God, but restricts them from disobeying the laws of the state. The result is that the people in general suffer more by breaking the laws of God than by obeying the imperfect laws made by man. Every man is imperfect. And thus the man cannot enact perfect legislation. And in God's laws there is no imperfection. Now for example, sometimes the God's law may appear to be imperfect from the eyes of someone who is not learned in the scriptures. There are many principles of scriptures which appear to be sectarian, or which appear to be meaningless in the eyes of modern man. Say for example the caste system. Modern man thinks, why the Brahmanas were living together and Kshatriyas were living together, why not? Now sometimes in the modern day movies they show that a barber is marrying a daughter of a Brahmana. Nowadays the modern movies they show there is a daughter of a Brahmana going to college and she falls in love with a barber, and the barber, and then father is opposing, father is saying that, what will happen to our kul, I will fall into the well and commit suicide, if you will marry him. And then you find they both get married and they show things like that. So they want to show that, we are modern people now. We don't care for such kind of things mentioned in scripture. But if you see the Vedic times, these four categories were made, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Everyone has a certain mentality also. Like you go, for example, those who have a tamaguna nature, they spit everywhere and they throw from the nose everywhere. They spit also everywhere. They pass urine, they don't wash their legs. There are many people. So in their locality, in whichever area they are living, many will be doing that and it is all right for them. But you put a person with a Brahminical quality there, he will have a tough time living there. He will have difficulty. On the other hand, you go to a Kshatriya's zone. Kshatriyas, they dress very attractively. They are supposed to be dressing very gorgeously. Brahmanas are supposed to dress very simple. Like that. Kshatriyas also have antapur. They have lot of women and their servant maids. And their kinds of enjoyments are different with Kshatriyas. So each of the four classes, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Vaishya means they talk a lot about money. That is their main trading, farming and all these things. So people of the, like we say, birds of the same feather flock together. So you go to the Srirangam, even today you find there are seven walls and there are agraharams, There are different people who are living there. The Brahmanas living together in one area. Even today in India, you will find basti and all they call it. One area where only dhobis live, one area only one certain category of people live. And they also find it very comfortable. Otherwise, today you go in the name of equality, you find a very huge, tall building, bungalow, and next to that you find a jhopadipatti. You find. Next to that, you find that. Again, you find some medium-sized house. You find that nobody knows who's the neighbor also. Because they cannot. They don't know the name also nowadays. Even in flats, people don't know. Who is your neighbor? They don't know the name also. So where is community? There is no community at all. So, of course, the Vedic system has made all these things because people of the same nature, if they come together, then they can also progress very nicely. Like for example, if people following Brahminical culture, they come together, they teach the children reciting shlokas, worshipping Lord Vishnu, and performing their activities, then they progress in that. Similarly, people who see each other performing the duty of that particular order perfectly, then they will also do that duties very nicely and they can progress. And they will not artificially compete that I am a barber, I will marry a daughter of a Brahmana girl and show the world that, just see what I have done. So this was not in the Vedic times. Just see now. So that is why, as we find, sometimes the God-made laws may look like imperfect on a superficial outlook. From a superficial outlook, like for example, to say that woman should be under the custody of man looks like minimizing the position of woman, but actually it is not. In fact, the female body is so created that, as God has ordained, they need protection. And if they are not under protection, it can cause danger to themselves, and they can cause dangers to others also, both ways. And the Shastras are very deep. They have studied the psychology of man, woman, children, old, everyone, deeply. And when you study the Shastras, it gives us great conviction about how they are deeply thoughtful. That's why Shastras are called as a mother. Like a mother knows. For example, if a girl goes to a mother and says, "I want to marry that boy," mother will ask, "Why do you want to marry that boy?" "Oh, because he looks very cute, you know, he comes from a rich family." "No, that's not the criteria for choosing a boy." "Okay, if he's very rich, he has a very flashy car, so you want to marry him. You may marry him today. Tomorrow he will throw you and marry another girl who looks more beautiful than you." Isn't it? So that is why the mother knows what is good for the daughter. So in this way, the Vedas actually teach us dependence on authorities, which is good for us. Dependence on authorities who will elevate us. So the Vedas don't teach us artificial sense of independence, which is like the independence of a street dog. A street dog's independence is no independence. He only gets beaten up by the stone by other boys and captured by the municipality van. So that kind of artificial independence is not taught in the scripture. So the God's laws may apparently seem to be, you know, wrong from the viewpoint of modern man. Modern man's viewpoints are all opposed to the scriptures, you find. Scriptures say, you know, we are all of a divine origin. Our greatest ancestor is Brahma, and we come down the line. Brahma had created so many rishis, Sapta rishis and all those rishis. And we have had great ancestors. Modern man says, we came from apes. That's the thing. The Vedas say, Sanskrit bhasha, Deva bhasha. The ancestors have been speaking in Sanskrit. Look at the scriptures. What is the quality of Sanskrit? The conversations are in Sanskrit. And they have lived very cultured lives, civilized lives. And modern man says, there was stone age. You know, man was hitting with stones. He was hitting with bows and arrows. And then he was living like a barbaric animal. And then he evolved into Homo sapiens sapiens, and then Homo sapiens. And now the Cro-Magnon man, who is the most modern man, and we are the most evolved in that evolution cycle, and we are the pinnacle of evolution, he's saying. And he's claiming himself to be most advanced. But if you carefully observe the life of a modern man, he is no better than a two-legged animal. Because none of the qualities mentioned in scriptures for a human being are there in a modern man. Because the scriptures say, whether you are a human being externally or you are an animal, the scriptures use the word jantu. Jantu. Jantu means creature. When does a jantu become a manushya? When he follows the laws of God, these principles. Otherwise, like these four principles, all are broken by modern man, if you see. Then how can he claim himself to be the most evolved? Even, why are you talking about the Vedic times? Right now I can say you are not a human being. Isn't it? He is saying that, you know, we were very degraded and now we have become more elevated. But right now, seeing the life of modern man, we can say that you are not elevated. What is the basis of the elevation? Wearing coat, suit, tie, polished shoes, you know, moving about in cars here and there, flashy cars, flying in aeroplanes. Does that make you a very developed man? No, that's not advancement at all. Advancement is estimated based on, as we said, yesham, na vidya, na tapo, na dano, the tapasya, the guna, the dharma, the dana, yajna, following the laws of God. These things make a man a human being. Otherwise, they don't make one a human being at all. We can see how modern man is so mean-minded. In the name of you know, globalization of markets, there is such a cutthroat competition. And modern society teaches us selfishness. How to become. In fact, their slogan is survival of the fittest. So in order for you to survive, you have to stamp on the heads of others. Otherwise, you cannot grow. Whereas the Vedic life teaches how to give others. You give and take. If everyone starts giving, there is no dearth or scarcity. So we can easily see who is advanced and who is mean-minded. We can see with our own eyes. So, as Prabhupada explains, the man-made laws are imperfect and God-made laws are all perfect. And man-made laws are unnecessary if people follow the laws of God. That's the point he is making here. So Prabhupada established ISKCON society. Why? So that he can teach the God's laws to people. The first God's law is to understand God is a supreme controller and we are insignificant. Brahmadi kita padaga vadyascha jiva, it is said. Beginning from Brahma up to the kita, or a worm in the stool, everyone in this world is under the stringent control. The example is given in Bhagavatam. Yatagavo nasi prota santyam baddhasya namabhi. Which means, when a cow or a bull is tied by a rope in the nose, even a farmer's small boy, son, he can catch the rope and pull the bull. And the bull has to go. Whichever direction is pulling him, he has to go in that direction. Even a small boy can pull. Why? His nose is tied. Similarly, all the living entities' noses are tied. God is pulling it. And we are controlled completely. Either we surrender to God or we surrender to Maya. We have no other option. We have to surrender to either of the two. And everyone is surrendering in this world. We can see that. So this is one of the first things we have to know. And then understanding that God, we are in control of Krishna, God. If you follow His laws, we will become liberated, free. We don't have to be bound in this world again and again, birth after birth. We will be liberated simply by following His laws. And following God's laws begins with following these four principles. Principles of austerity, cleanliness, truthfulness, and mercy, mercifulness. And these are purposes, these are there in every religion. Take Islam, take Christianity, take Hinduism, take Sikhism, take Jainism. Every religion talks of the same four principles. I was so thrilled when I have been reading these purports in the last few years. I thought when we teach value education in schools, these principles should be taught. Because these are common to all the religions. We can show people how every religion is teaching the same thing. And out of the two things, following these principles is more easy than completely surrendering to God. And these following these principles will act as a stepping stone to achieve the platform of Sarvadharman Parityajya. Because following these four principles will make us a human being. It will make us a person of character. When we become people of character, then we will be sensitive to the feelings of others. We will know how we should lead our lives. Then with that character, understanding the Lord will become very easy. Then the Bhagavata Dharma of love of God will become very easy beyond that. So within our society, ISKCON society, devotees who are followers of Prabhupada should be very strict in following the four regulative principles. We may say, I don't eat meat, I don't gamble, I don't do intoxication, I don't do illicit sex on a gross platform. But even on a subtle platform, we should avoid these things because these are the sitting places of Kali Raj, irreligiosity. If we are going to relax on these principles and we don't follow them very strictly, then we are giving a door open for Kali to enter into our system. And once Kali enters inside, Kali can create a lot of trouble. Like I was telling you, for example, students, devotees using internet, if they are a little careless, they can allow Kali to enter into their brains. And many devotees have become victims to this. Similarly, today you open any newspaper, you cannot even touch a newspaper, it is so contaminating. It's like that. Not only the cinema magazines, even the newspapers have become like that nowadays. So devotees have to be on guard in what different ways and shapes and forms Kali Raj will come. Devotees have to be very sincere and watchful how Kali can come in various ways. So actually, to the degree we follow these principles very purely, strictly, to that degree Krishna consciousness will become very easy. And to that degree it will become easy. Like if men and women are not modest and chaste, then they should be ready to invite trouble to themselves. Like for example, Prabhupada says, decoration of the dead body, civilization. He calls the Western civilization as decoration of the dead body civilization. Because if we make the body the center of our life, how I can decorate this rotting flesh to make it more and more attractive looking, to charm the hearts of other women or men. Then we create trouble to others, we create trouble to ourselves also. Because sometimes, you know, people who do these things, they have become very self-conscious. You have seen that? Like those people who are trying to impress others, they become extremely self-conscious. Self-conscious means bodily conscious. They become too bodily conscious. Am I able to impress others sufficiently? This is the number one anxiety for them. And when you, like I used to tell the boys also, you wear dhoti, kurta, you wear tilak, keep short Hare Krishna cut hair. You look very simple, you know. And you can think of Krishna very easily. And many boys have experienced, they say, when we wear dress like this, we feel we are devotees of Krishna. When you feel I am like Sudama Vipra or I am like, you know, Kolavicha Shiva or somebody like that. You feel like a devotee. You feel like a devotee when you dress like this, isn't it? On the other hand, you wear, you know, tight jeans and you wear a boxer shirt and you wear a cooling glass, you know, eagle cooling glass. You keep a stylish hair, you know. You climb on the back of a flashy bike. You are going, isn't it? Then you think I'm a big hero, huh? You think, isn't it? That's why Prabhupada made this. Even in the West, Prabhupada introduced all these things. Wearing saris, wearing dhoti kurta. Prabhupada made, we have to keep life simple. Our dressing, our speech, our thinking, our behavior. So these four principles should be followed very nicely. Actually, we have not yet spoken about love of God at all. Love of God comes much later. First, you have to follow this. If you follow this, then understanding Bhagavad philosophy will become very easy. Those who are simple at heart, it becomes very easy after that. But unfortunately, in the modern day schools and colleges, all these are broken, unfortunately. Every one of them. There is a very big tussle going on now in IIT Kharagpur. You know, they had about 12 or 13 hostels. And by the request of some students, they started a new hostel, which was a vegetarian hostel. Practically 300-400 students from other hostels, they got out of the hostels and joined this vegetarian hostel. And they were very happy. Only veg will be served there. And it was going on for 1 year. Now somebody has come, he's saying that why only vegetarian hostel separately? No, let the boys eat non-veg and become more stout and strong. Because they will go to America, London, everywhere. There they may not get veg. So better you make veg and non-veg together. So somebody started like that. And again, they are going to start veg and non-veg in that hostel also now. Like every other hostel. Can you imagine 12 hostels supplying veg and non-veg and one hostel was veg. And that also they are trying to stop now. So many of our devotee students are protesting and trying to request them to supply only veg. You see, when they say, why don't they say veg and flesh? They say veg and non-veg. It's a very decent way of saying, because when you say, you know, veg and dead corpse, which one you want? What do you want? People will always ask. Nobody will go for that option. That's why they're calling us veg and non-veg. So we can see in the Kali Yuga period, there is a tussle going on. Devotees are preaching all over the world. Wherever they're preaching, you will see that these four principles, they are like broken leg of the dharma. Like the dharma bull is standing with great difficulty. So our devotees are fighting there to try to get vegetarian food. So that, in fact, over a period of time, we should bring about a time when we can, now in the world population, 90% of the world population eats meat. Can you imagine? Yeah, just 10% is vegetarian. You can see that. In the same thing with, man, woman mixing, freedom. So, there is no proper, actually people don't know, many of them are ignorant, they are ignorant like animals, they just don't know, they don't know the dangers, they are playing with fire. Shastra say, if you don't put the curtain, if you don't put the restriction between man and woman, people are playing with fire, they don't know, it will lead to disasters over a period of time. Same thing with the gambling, even in schools, colleges, children play, boys play tambola, you know, making a hole and they keep money. Yeah, they don't know. They're cultivating the seeds of greed in the heart. And austerity, needless to say, nobody follows any austerity. They are not taught. Actually, when you don't follow austerity, we cannot control the mind. By following Ekadashi breath, by following the fasting vow, by chanting Hare Krishna, we develop inner stamina, willpower. And we can say no to the wrong things, yes to the right things. Yes to Krishna, no to Maya. We can do that. But when you don't follow austerity, then you become intoxicated, we become proud, mind becomes very weakened, and the mind just drags you by the neck, and then everyone does all nonsense things. So the society is fully in trouble. So, the end of this purport is saying here, see? But in the age of Kali, the executive heads of state will be indifferent to such religious principles, and therefore under their patronage, the opponents of religious principles as greed, falsehood, cheating, pilfery, they all follow. So there will be no meaning to propaganda crying to stop corruption in the state. There are many people talking about how to stop corruption. There is a big talk going on, but it's useless talk. Because first, if they don't follow these four principles, you cannot stop corruption. Like it's like telling a person who is intoxicated in wine, you know, be a gentleman, you know. Sir, you know, don't behave badly, be a gentleman. How can you make him a gentleman? He's already drunk. So first they have to follow these four principles. So when Prabhupada established this ISKCON society, many initial people told Prabhupada, don't make these four strict principles. Meat eating, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. Your society will become an unpopular society in the West. And nobody will become devotee, they told. Prabhupada said, nothing doing. I have not come here to please the Americans, Prabhupada said. I have come here to give the Bhagavad philosophy. And Prabhupada spoke, like sometimes when I go to colleges, I give a seminar. In the very first seminar, I talk about the four regulative principles. And some devotees will be looking at teacher, Rajashambhu is saying, you know, Prabhuji, he's saying no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. You know, boys will go away, you know. I would say, oh, let them go away. Whoever wants to hear, let them hear. Because we should follow Prabhupada. Prabhupada taught these things in the very early days, very openly. If Prabhupada made these rules for Americans, why can't we teach these things openly in India? If any devotee is afraid to teach these things, that means you don't want to follow Prabhupada. You are afraid. You want to minimize the principles given by Prabhupada. We should preach it boldly. Let people come to understand what is the truth. At least they will come to know. Even if they don't follow, at least they will know. Maybe next lifetime they will follow. We should tell them the truth, hiding the truth. Shri Prabhupada ki, Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki.